Who I am. My name's Dave Zimmerman, and I live in Kentucky now, but I was born in Martinsburg, Pennsylvania, to a Old Order Mennonite family. One thing I want you to think about and to understand is just because I was saved out of the Mennonite church doesn't mean that I was saved any different way than you were, if you're saved. Salvation is the same no matter where you come from. Now, what you need to understand is how heavily influential the Mennonite church is that makes it a little bit more of a miracle that we actually got out of it. But tonight, I want to start with some scripture, of course. I always go back to the Bible because when I seen it in the Bible is when I finally got a hold of the truth. Because in the Mennonite realm, there is as many different Mennonites as you got races of people, pretty much. I mean, there's all kinds of different Mennonites, and they have all kinds of different standards, and they have all kinds of different rules. The question often came up into mind, well, who's right? Because if I'd hang out with my buddies from a different church, we could do different things than what I was allowed to do. So who is right? How can this work? How can it be that God requires more of me than they do of them? The trouble was, it was all man-made rules. And they live in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John Gospels. So it does get complicated because and it's a very, very works-based religion. Very much so. And being it is works-based, well, then you can't have eternal security. And I could get very, very angry at times because as a young person, I dealt with so much condemnation because I was required to do so many things that anybody knows a young man can't do. But yet I was required to do it, and I was held to the law to do it. We had a little blue book about that big and that big full of our rules and regulations. And I wished I'd had some just to read some to you. That's just unbelievable. And the verses they would use, they would extremely be out of context, but you know, they didn't understand how to rightly divide. The only time you really studied anything in the gospel and in Paul's writings is to pick out the things where Paul admonishes you how to live, because everything is about how to live. They do not understand. After I got saved, we went home to my mom and dad. They still live in Pennsylvania. We got saved in January 20th, 2010, and that July, we went in to see my mom and dad. And I figured if anybody would see it, my dad would, because my dad's the kind of person that loves to study. And so I had been sending him things, books and CDs. Well, they can't watch movies, so the DVD thing's kind of out of the picture. So it's a little hard to get gray CDs. So when Steve Atwood did his Back to the Basics, I was delighted because it's on CDs. Well, we went in there, and I made a mistake. I went too early, because when I went to a private school, our church had our own school. So everything is Bible-based. We had Bible class every week. We had Bible study every morning. So I knew the Bible. I know the Bible. But what happened to me after I got saved is I had to learn how to rightly divide the Bible. Because when you're taught everything is for you and to you, a verse pops in your head and you're like, whoa, where's that found? Because it no longer is what we used to have it as. So, yes, I was very, I know the Old Testament. I know pretty much everything in the Old Testament. We studied that a lot. I know all the good stories back in there. You know, you'd get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they would graft you into that tree because Jesus said, in James, it talks about going to the 12 tribes. And, they love the book of James because it's all about hammer time, you know. It's all about doing, doing, doing. And it's nothing but a life of condemnation. they have communion every 6 months. And before the, and this is, they have a church organization. In each particular church, you would have at least two ministers and a deacon. Over those, like they would have their districts. So over this district was a bishop, the big man. And then there was a board of bishops over the whole. The church I was a part of was called the Eastern Pennsylvania Mennonite Church. Mom and Dad left the Old Order Mennonite, which is Horse and Buggy Mennonite, when I was about 5 years old. My first memories of going to church are in a horse and buggy. Back to the way they run their system, you would have your preachers and your deacon, and they would ordain them according to the lot. Found that's in Acts 1, right? Acts 1 or 2, how, where they use the lot. They would, first of all, they would counsel the church and see if there is a desire to have a preacher, deacon ordained to help with the work. And if there's an okay, then they would, in that particular congregation, they would do a, trying to think what the name of that service was, but they would, the minister and preachers would be out back, you would go individual and give a name of a man who you thought would make a good preacher slash deacon. And if you got X amount of nominations, you were in what they call the lot. And the lot often existed anywhere from two, sometimes just one, but from two on up to three, four. So then they'd have ordination day and they would use the book, the lot, what they call the lot. They would get four identical books or however many were in the class. And one, they would send a guy out. They'd have a little piece of paper that they were told to put in the one book. So one man would go out, put the paper in, shuffle the books, leave the books there. The other guy came back. Another man went out, shuffled the books, left the books there. And the third man, that way it couldn't be rigged. So the third man would go and get the books. And then they usually had a podium with a side on each side. And they'd sit them up here on the podium. And the, whoever the men were that were in the lot would sit up front. And then they would go and each take a book. And whoever the book fell into, that was God calling him to be in the ministry. But my own brother is ordained a minister up in Illinois. He supposedly somehow was the only man in the lot. But there's also politics in Mennonite churches. When you have people saying who they voted for and come find out this person wasn't in the lot, it's a little bit of a problem. But he was supposedly the only one. Him and my relationship has kind of went south ever since I got saved because I gave him a lot of literature and we used to talk on the phone all the time and it don't happen much anymore. But all we can do is give him the truth. You know, and when you're raised and it's pounded in your brain, it's there. There's many times that, yeah, sometimes I wished I could take my computer and hit a delete, make the system crash so I can get a new hard drive, but that system is still in there. And it was interesting, Rhoda and I were talking about me doing this. I said, you know, I've been out of it 4 years now. And I said, I kind of forget a lot of stuff, which I'm glad I did. But they have communion every 6 months. And this goes back to the works-based salvation. They will come in and they'll have what they call council meeting. They have the message. They go over the rules and discipline of the church. And then you go in, the bishop and the preachers will go back in the back room, and then you file out in groups, however much the room could hold, and they'd ask you three questions. Do you have peace with God and your fellow man? Do you desire to take communion? Now, that was the last one. The second one, I think, was, do you promise to uphold the standards of the church? And then the last one was, do you desire to take communion? Now, come on, how many of you is going to say no? I mean, really, you're in front of a whole group of, well, they're all about segregation, so it's men versus women, you know. And many times, you know, you, okay, at peace with God. So what would I do? I'd quick pray like crazy before I'd go back so I could say at peace with God. And like I said before, I have a lot of anger because of what I was taught, because I was living under condemnation all the time. Romans 8 verse 1. What does that say? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I promise you, they use this verse all the time. And you know how, who walk not after the flesh. Oh, if you're doing fleshly things, then you can't have peace with God. Little did they know what that verse actually was saying. Again, if you don't understand right division, probably one of the hardest things was when we went into my mom and dad, we sat there probably, 3 hours? And I pretty much wanted to pack up and leave because it didn't go pretty. And one thing I told him, I said, you know, I'm eternally secure. And the hardest thing about that was my mom said, you will never get me to believe that. So with that was really hard, because what are you believing in if you're not eternally secure? We got married 13 years ago in May, and we were living in Illinois at that time. And another thing that's very typical of the Mennonite churches is church problems, church fighting, church splits. Ooh, people get a crosshair about some kind of little bit of a doctrine, and they'll split over it. Just the stupidest stuff you've ever seen. So then you got this animosity going on. I mean, I've seen them split over the most ridiculous things. That kind of pushed us to Kentucky. The church we were part of split over something retarded. I don't even know what it was about, really. So we moved to Kentucky. And praise God we did. Because in Kentucky is where we heard the gospel. We were in Florida that year. We always go to Florida in January. And we had the option to stay another week. But we heard about this. Barry Hampton sat. Well, I knew Barry Hampton for 2 years. He would come up there and we'd do blood work. And we'd sit there and talk. And, you know, he would do these like he was good at, get to the board and draw things. And, of course, you know, it made sense because it just did. But in my religious mindset, I wasn't seeing what he was showing me. And we would listen to Barry some on, you know, Sunday mornings. But the biggest mistake I made, I would sit there listening to him, not turning with him in my Bible. When I saw the truth, it's because I seen it on the paper and I couldn't argue with it. It was no longer what my church said. It was God's word. Well, we were in Florida talking to a young couple down there that we knew from Ohio that was frustrated. We were frustrated. You know, and it's just a whole bunch of garble is pretty much what the whole conversation was. Just nowhere, you don't get anywhere because you're not using the word of God. Well, Barry had sat up down with 4 people up there, including Rhoda's sister Gina. And they talked to us. Oh, they were so excited about what they showed, what he showed in the Bible. We came home early, and it was that Tuesday night we had our first Bible study there. And it started about 7 and went to 1 o'clock in the morning. And we were, you know, Barry started way back in Genesis. You know, he would just show you the system, how it worked. And he got back into Corinthians 15, the gospel, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. The gospel, you know, and he would just, how you're saved by grace. And we went back Wednesday night. See, that would have been the 19th, I think, Wednesday night. Tuesday was the 19th, and then that's the day we got saved, was Wednesday. Thursday, we got saved Thursday. We were sat through 2 Bible studies, and I got to tell you this, the Mennonite women, their attire is very much, it's all dresses, and they have this head covering thing. You probably saw Amish ladies. That's a big, big thing. I'll tell you, my mom and my sister sleep with it on. It's a serious thing. And if they would just go a couple more verses in 1 Corinthians 11 and understand it. Anyway, that Bible study, Barry went around the room that night to ask us when we got saved. And I was like, oh my gosh, what day was that? What day was that? You know how you do? Well, in my time, when did I get saved? Because I always struggled and I always went, you know, confessed my sins and all that. And some date back in August of 83 is when I supposedly responded at a revival meeting. They have these week revival meetings and you respond to the call. That was the day that I thought I got saved. But I couldn't understand, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Because I didn't have that. I didn't have that peace. Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday. Well, Wednesday afternoon I had to go to town and I was begging God that I wanted this. I wanted to get saved. I wanted to get saved, but I didn't know how. And then Thursday morning, I got up and I can vividly remember there was a chair in the corner where I always sat in the morning before I went to work. And I stood there and I looked out the window and it dawned on me that it doesn't matter. Christ died for that already. Everything is... And I was so excited. I went and told Rhoda. She does remember me telling her this. But she was still miserable at that point. And she was heading to a Baptist. We were kind of expanding our, you know, trying to look to see where we can find what we wanted. And so she was going to a ladies' Baptist Bible study. And the way to the Bible study that morning is when she got saved. So we both got saved the same day. And wow, it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. The peace that never leaves. Yeah, does it get tough? Does Satan still pound you? Yes, he does. But there's that deep down in peace that you cannot shake. Because it is so solid, it is grounded in the Word. Trying to think what else you might be interested. Does anybody have any questions? Thing about me personally, I had to go to school to learn English. That's why I have a weird accent, as you probably think. Mein Sascht, ich habe auf Deutsch versagt. Ich bin auf der Schule gegangen, wie für Englisch versagt. But yes, that is a very common thing in the Old Order Mennonites, is they will preach in German, even at church, and German, Dutch. It's a Pennsylvania Dutch is what I talk. That's what you learn, and then you go to school to learn English. So I will never lose my accent for where I moved to. It can get a little bit southern, but it's just still there. So, but does anybody have any questions? Anything that you want to know more about?
What would that have to do for your sounds?
Oh, you would, yeah. I supposedly responded, I think it was, would have been about 13, I think is when I responded. Then they take you to a room and they pray with you and you do the God forgive me, you know, blah, blah, blah stuff. Ask Jesus into your heart. And then if the sin was bad enough, they expected you to confess it to the whole group. Which always made so much sense because then people had a lot to talk about. I mean, it was just ridiculous because it never worked. It never worked. And talking about baptism, so then what you would do if you responded and became a Christian, they would put you through, I think it was about 3 months worth of instruction class. You would have this book. You go through and they would teach you these lessons, how to be a good person, how to be a Christian, how to live victoriously, on and on and on. When you got through that, in the meantime, the whole church is watching you and grading you. Okay? Then there comes a time where now you need to be baptized. But you needed the church's approval first to make sure you are a good enough Christian to be baptized. One of my buddies didn't make it the first round. but it then, when you do get baptized, then you become a church member. And they do practice a holy kiss. That's when that starts. You could think you're in California somewhere if you go to their church. Men kiss men and women kiss women. Called the holy kiss. Yes, and that's awkward. Very much. Yes, ma'am. Yes, we did. That is one thing that I'm very, very, very thankful for.
Yeah, had it, but you didn't use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. We did.
Technically, you didn't use it. So the baptism, it was immersion?
No, no, no. It was poured on.
Poured.
The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being poured on. It was poured on. No, the Baptists are very liberal beings.
That's done in the church building.
Yeah, you do it right up front here. Kneel down and they pour water in your head. They try and have it room temperature.
But,
no, that was the Old Order Mennonite. My mom and dad would have left the Old Order Mennonite. I should have clarified that when I was about five. And they went to the Eastern Pennsylvania Mennonite Church, which then allowed them to have cars. And see, mom and dad would not have had cars. They had horse and buggies, and then they had electric and phone and tractors, but the tractors were on steel wheels. But, yeah. They put steel wheels on the tractors to take the rubber tires off so you can't use them to run to town and stuff. You need to live a humble life. Yeah, you deny yourself a lot of stuff.
Lisa and I went to Amish country in Pennsylvania about 6-7 years ago, and we took a buggy ride.
Mm-hmm.
It was a teenager that was doing it, told us that he was leaving to go to college. He couldn't stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. Yeah.
They all had cell phones, but couldn't use the regular phone because of the line coming from the
house. You're hooked into the world, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But the satellite cell phone tower was okay.
Amish and Mennonites, the same thing?
Mm-mm. Doctrinally, yes. Sort of, kind of. It's all about where they draw the lines about what they want to do. Amish make their own clothing. We didn't. Amish grow beards. We did not. They think I'm terrible having facial hair. It's just awful.
What about diet?
Diet? Eat good. Very good.
You could eat anything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. No.
What is Mennonite from Germany?
My background comes from Switzerland. I was going to check when the Catholic Church and the Mennonites split off, what year that was. I'm not a historian, so I don't know, but there was a point in time where the Mennonites broke off Catholic.
Oh, the Mennonites. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you have that teenage period like the Amish do where you can go and
do... Rumspringas? No. Rumspringer?
Yeah.
No. My church group? No, absolutely not. You... That's a different, that's a different group. Yeah.
What
now,
happened if you wanted to leave or if you did something really bad?
Mm-hmm. They let their young people go to plant their seeds and see, and then they want them to come back. That's the Amish that do that. We did not have TV. We did not have radio. We did not have, they do not have, still to this day, don't have internet, TV, or radio. Because that directly is connected right into sin, man. That's just bad stuff.
Guns.
Yes, we hunted, all that good stuff. But lived a very, very secluded, very, very secluded greenhouse-ish life. They provide their own schools to keep them out of public school. You get to the age of, probably about 16, you become Social Security exempt. 1029 form. Mm-mm. See, they're not tied. They will not take government aid. There's dairy farmers in the tough times when the milk price was bad, farming was bad, the government would subsidize. They'd tear the check up and throw it in the trash. They will not take any money off the government. But then they do have a pretty good system how they pay their medical bills. They actually provided their own auto insurance. They had a group. When you bought a car, you gave them the info of the car and they gave you a card. No money exchanged, but then if someone had a wreck, they would do the offering thing and cover expenses that way. Same with hospital bills. But they are absolutely anti-government to be involved at all because the Bible talks about you need to be separate from that. Yeah, it's, and, oh, divorce and remarriage, that's out. Absolutely no divorce and remarriage. If a couple come from the world, like they would say, and they are divorced and remarried, to be a member of that church, they would have to separate again. The only person they'd be allowed to be married to is their original. Yes.
Goodbye, your way.
Remember that little book? You had to follow that little book. They would literally read every communion. They would read through the standards of the church. Oh, geez, I wish I'd have brought along just to humor you. But it was awful. Yeah. The first meeting didn't go well at all. Mom even got mad at me for making Dad read the Bible to me. He really didn't really want to either. He resisted that. But the reason I made him do that is when I saw the words on the page. You cannot deny when you see the words on the page. And so it didn't go well the first time. We were just there, what, a month ago? A month and a half ago? He has really... I honestly think Dad understands it. I think he does. But we didn't talk about it this time. Mom said, now every time you come back, we don't want you talking about this every time you come back home. But I honestly think that Dad has a small grasp of it. Because he studies. He really does. And I gave him enough of literature that he needs to, if he read it. I keep sending him stuff. I never hear nothing about it. But knowing his curiosity, I'm sure he listens to it. So I'm hoping and praying that he's 70 years old, and I hope someday that it will sink in like it did me. And that, yeah, an old rotten Mennonite like me can get saved. And I want to tell you something, Breaking Amish Mafia, bullcrap. A lot of that stuff on there ain't true. People look in the Amish and, oh, they got such a fantasy of the Amish. They're such good people and they live such good moral lives. No, they don't. I could give you stories upon stories, people who committed suicide, people who committed adultery, people who committed whatever you want to know. Mennonite and Amish, they're just as filthy as anybody else is. And the sad thing is, you're dealing with a lot of unsaved people. Not that getting saved cleans it up, but you would think that their lives are perfect. But it's not. It's not a fantasy world like a lot of people looking in think it is. Do they have a lot of good things about their lifestyle? Yes, it does. Mark found out today that they teach you to work. And I'm grateful for that. I was in the barn at 6 years old helping milk cows. Get up before school, go milk cows, go to school, come home and get back to the barn, go to bed, go to school. You know, milk cows, go to school. So I'm thankful for that. I'm not a lazy person because of it. But there's a lot, like I said earlier, there's a lot of things that I wished I could erase out of my brain, because for a long time some of that stuff tripped me up. But when you get in the Word time and time again, the longer our Bible studies went on up there, and Barry was very good at the beginning, because there's often new people there, he would go through the Bible and show you. And boy, we just couldn't wait till he gets into Paul's epistles. Because then the news is just bright and clear for us. So I tell you what, getting into the book is the best thing anybody can do, because it does not lie. But you have to accept that it's truth.
To get married? Do y'all get counseled? Do they counsel you and go, well, you can have our blessings in marrying one another? Or do you say, we want to get married, can we use the church and get done?
Oh, they you have to be a member to be able to get married. And to be a member, you had to be in good standing. So, yeah, it was pretty much you couldn't marry hardly, barely outside the church group. You kind of were. And I tried a few.
It wasn't arranged marriage.
No. But I had to ask Dad before I would go ask a girl out. I would have to ask my dad to see if he approved of her, so he would call their preacher and crap. Very annoying. I wanted to go have fun and just couldn't.
Wasn't Rhoda Amish?
She grew up Amish, yeah.
New York.
No, huh? That was before we met. She left the Amish church. We were in a Mennonite setting when we met.
Different than what you grew up.
I actually eventually, the way it kind of worked, you would, like I said, there's many, many groups of the Mennonites. So you look over here, wow, they allow, I can wear print shirts to church over here. Or, you know, you look at the other groups and you see different things. Oh, there's got to be more freedom there because they're just not so bound down. So you would, we did some church jumping, went from to several different churches. I finally moved out of home at about a 20, I think I was 23, 24. I moved to Illinois to work for my brother out there. He married a girl from out there. They had churches in different states and things. So that's where Rhoda and I eventually met, was in Illinois. But there was this, what they would call very liberal church there. You could wear white sneakers instead of black ones. Just, yeah. I had to wear black shoes. Yeah, I could go on and on. But, so I went to that church and we married under that church in that setting. So she was no longer Amish and I was, we were in the same church when we got together. But, you, as far as marriage, you date. And then you have an engagement period, and then, which normally lasts, about a year probably. It just depended. I know the Eastern Church is pretty stringent on their engagement period things. But yeah, it's a very, very, very structured. And it makes me extremely sad when you can't get me to go to them anymore. The only way I'll walk into the doors of those is one of my niece's weddings, or maybe a funeral, but I will not go back. Because I want to throw up every time I go back. It's like you're singing a song and somebody hits a really bad note like Krista did on the piano tonight. You were fine. No. You were good. But when they're up there preaching and they're really into this thing and they hit a sour note, it's sickening. Because they are deceiving many, 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 many people. Because they're preaching out of the wrong book. Our wrong books, rather. Wrong gospel. They're teaching another gospel. Yes, sir.
David, you were on a vacation in Florida?
And
something just spookish happened that you met Barry or somebody down there?
No, Barry was actually coming up to Kentucky where we lived. He would come up there to do blood work. And we had met Barry through that for 2 years before. Barry was pretty slick at putting truth to you. But like I said before, it never clicked because I didn't see it in the book. As he was doing my blood work, he would draw pictures and all his, you know, like he did on the board. And we would listen to him on his Sunday morning services, but it wasn't until Bible study. What happened while we were in Florida, there was a Bible study. He sat down, he came up to do blood work, and that evening he sat down and talked to them for 4 hours. And of course, here was all this truth presented from the Word of God, and we were very frustrated where we were. We were at the point that we're giving everything up. We were done. That's pretty much where we were. And then we heard the good news that there is some good news, and we came tearing home from Florida. And that week we had 3 nights from 7 o'clock to 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and we could not get enough of it. And then every week he would come up. So, yeah, we're so, so thankful. But
now you still have Bible study.
Yeah, we have Bible study at our house Thursday nights, yeah. Steve Atwood.
Which you can watch.
Yeah, it is live every Thursday night at 7 o'clock Central Time.
Is that you?
I think I'm coming up to a road crossing.
Didn't you tell me? When they allowed vehicles, you owning a vehicle, a car, you could only own black ones.
Well, it was dark colored. You had to have a dark colored. You could have a dark blue, black, dark green, dark brown. Yeah, I got.
My vehicle.
They don't realize that, do they? I got called into the preach when the bishop came around church. I was like, oh boy, is he here to talk to me? Because he didn't live at our church. But I got called into the room because I had a tassel on my mirror. No, you don't do that stuff. And I had a nice teal pinstripe on my black car. Can't do that. I'm telling you, people, you have no idea the bondage that those people are under. It is so sad. So sad.
Well, when we were in Pennsylvania a few years back, we encountered some Mennonites working in Philadelphia in a train station there. And I don't know if you remember that, but they wore their attire.
Mm-hmm.
And they served food and things that they made homemade.
Mm-hmm.
Their forms and whatever. And I wondered, now we got the question.
Yeah.
There was a question.
One of the things up there, I was going to get one of those hats.
The Amish hat?
And I went into the store and I looked at it in late night.
Oh, no.
I wasn't going to.
I know what it was.
You want a genuine one.
Are they forced to work there, or is that voluntary, or is that for money? You know, to earn money for their family.
Well, was it more like a store, restaurant, or something?
No. Mm-hmm. They have all kinds of, it's kind of like a market, you know.
Oh, yeah, that would be of their own choosing, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They very strongly encourage the farming lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, most of them can bake and cook. Uh-huh. I ate really well growing up. I still do, actually. Mm-hmm. But that... You know, I lived in that, but the question is now, what is my address today? I live on the corner of Romans 1:1 and Philemon 25. That's my address. And I found peace there. And I found out that Christ made me complete. I am complete. I was always searching for that completeness. And you know, after I got saved, we stayed in that Mennonite church. And Barry said, get out of there. He said, I'm telling you, get out of there. And we're like, I don't know if we can do this, you know, because you guys got to understand the grip that the covering on the women has. When she quit wearing the covering, we would go to Walmart on Sunday morning because we knew they were in church. We didn't want to deal with them. That is such a strong hold. But Barry said, get out of there. And it came to the point where it actually worked out pretty good how we got out, but... they kind of kicked us out, really. Yeah. We actually had the ministry there go to a Bible study, and it got very, very interesting that night. We had one preacher walked out all mad. The other guy was claiming he can drink any deadly thing, and Barry got some Drano and set it in front of him. The dude was fingering around as if he's going to try it. It got very interesting. Yes, Donald? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And was there ever any point that you had any idea that this grace, this salvation was there, even reading it?
They never taught it, and I never picked it up.
Yeah.
Never did. You know, the Bible does say it's by the foolishness of preaching.
Right.
Yeah, they never preached it. Never preached
it. It wasn't like you even had a glimmer of light.
I'm telling you, I have a list of verses here I never knew existed in the Bible. I didn't know Colossians 2:13 tells me that I am complete in Him. I didn't know that Romans 3:9 tells me I'm no good. Because I am good if I can be a church member. You can get good. They never read those verses to us. But like I said, if they would go into Paul's epistles, it was to support their whole works-based salvation. Yeah, if you're not baptized and a church member, it was pretty slim yet that you were actually a Christian. That's how serious they were about it. So yeah, there's things about my lifestyle that I'm very, very thankful for, because I was taught work structure, I was taught family structure. There's times I think that mom and dad should have divorced but didn't. but they didn't believe in it because they would fight and carry on sometimes. They're not that bad now anymore, I guess. Like, we all left, so. But, you know.
They're worn out. They're old.
Yeah, we wore it, yeah. But, you know, there's many, many families in the Mennonite circle that I could tell you would be better off divorced than married. Many of them. But they're so strong on divorce and remarriage that it's a life thing. You cannot get out of it. And if you do, why, then you're pretty much got to remain single. Yeah, it's really sad.
The sizable number of you guys that came out unmarried.
Yeah. There was
the first year I met you guys at Dunnersville.
Pretty big group of us.
20-something.
There was about 15 of us, yeah. Yeah. And of course, you know, there for a while people were all in doubt over us in the grace circles because we came out of the Mennonites. But like I said in the beginning, I'm not saved any different than you are. Yes. Well, if everybody's there right now, we have about 20. Yeah.
They're all Mennonite?
No. Nope. I have a good old Baptist friend that I brought to the light of the truth one morning going to look at a job at his house. Riding along, and he says, boy, I was just reading in there and where God dealt with Israel, you know, how he dealt with people that were wrong. He said, I think that's what's going on with America this morning. I said, no. Nope. And we talked an hour. And man, that man and his wife have been a great blessing to our group up there. Wonderful, wonderful. So I'm telling you, I tell everybody, if you're saved in here tonight, you have something we all have, and that's a testimony. Share it with people. You don't have nothing else to say? Tell them how you got saved. Because I'm telling you, you can do wonders with people, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of hurting people. There's a lot of people who are not happy where they're at. Just give them what happened to you. And just tell them where you live. But yeah, well, thanks for the time. The good thing was now that I know I'm bad, I'm not so stressed out about being bad.
You be bad.